Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards. Yep. Dow knows that picking an everyday red wine can be tricky, and they make that easy with 2018 Dow Central Coast Pinot Noir. Backseaters can enjoy exclusive access and free shipping on orders of 3 or more bottles with promo code PASSO at dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. That is promo code PASSO at dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of Don't Make Me Come Back There's Corona Chronicles. I always have to add that to make the podcast possessive is challenging verbally for me. Don't Make Me Come Back There's Corona Chronicles. And we are back here. It's just the lovely Melissa and I here back in studio / our kitchen. And Melissa, walk the audience through just a little bit of a visual of what the studio looks like right now.
It's St. Patrick's Day Eve.
Yeah, so today is, we fought over the date earlier. What's the date right now?
Yes. I'm gonna look at my phone.
The day before St. Patrick's Day.
It's March 16th. It's Monday.
You get it. You get it, guys.
So we've got 2 leprechaun traps this year.
Ooh.
So the kindergartner had to make one
because they do not have the virus.
And then the older sis just went for it.
Yeah.
And hers has like a ladder. It's pretty cute. They're good. I'm impressed. And we had some old candy coins stashed away from not gonna lie, Christmas
2019. Yeah. Well, this year's Christmas.
Yeah, but they don't ever eat them, so I don't know. Like I looked on Amazon, there was no way it was gonna get here. And Amazon Fresh is down.
I couldn't even get Monopoly. I tried to order Monopoly because I'm just trying to kill the time during the day.
I saw that in the cart, and I didn't know why it was on. I didn't know they put games on Amazon Fresh.
I don't know if you know this,
because I bought vitamins on Amazon.
You had a bunch of stuff in the cart, and I cleared out your whole cart because I was like, oh, I just want to buy this Monopoly, so I'm going to clear all this stuff out. And I don't know. I'm not familiar with Amazon Fresh.
Okay, so yeah. So what happened was, if you spend $35, it's free shipping. And so I, you know, got cans and whatever is left.
Right.
And then they were like, oh yeah, we don't have a delivery date for you.
Just for Amazon Fresh. Amazon, normal Amazon stuff is going strong.
Amazon Fresh, like if you want cans or whatever, you can't get them right now.
A lot of love to all the people out there. There are essential jobs that people are still doing. People are delivering stuff. People are nurses. People are grocery store workers. People are just stinking going for it. And thank you so much.
Yeah, we're still getting the mail. We're still getting trash.
I saw the mailman today, the trash workers. Yeah.
Yep.
It's amazing. Thank you, everybody. Who knows? Again, this is a few days before this will come out. Who knows? Life may have changed by this time this comes out in a few days, because every day, you know, it's all different. But, you know, I wanted to start off actually with a couple of positive threads. You know, it's in our nature for doom and gloom, and you know, like it is, things are very bad.
Yeah,
no
people
doubt.
Are, I mean, of course, terrible stuff's happening.
Yeah.
But also, like, people's vacations are getting canceled. Spring break trips, graduation stuff is all on the hook, you know, on the line.
Right.
Like, if you're a senior this year, this is just
That's a
awful.
Crazy point you brought up earlier, too, of
like
just
a high
like
high school senior, an eighth grader, a college senior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your whole life got changed. You like somebody had a funny tweet of just like, hey man, you asked that girl to prom. She said no. And then prom got canceled. Like the Lord works in mysterious ways. But I just wanted to read this. This is a thread from David Ingalls on Twitter. He's a political guy. He says he follows the money. He does some stuff with Bloomberg. I don't really even know his stuff that well, but he's verified. And he has this thread. It says, let's go humanity. We can beat this. And 4 days ago, he said, almost 70,000 people have recovered from coronavirus. The next day, just 24 hours, we're up to 70. Yeah, he was at 70. Excuse me. Then I read it out of order there. Then he was just at 70, just under 70. And then the next day, over 70,000. And then today, 7 hours ago, he recovered. Again, this is outdated. By the time this is coming out, it could be way higher. It will be way higher. Recoveries from the virus are now nearing 80,000. So let's go. And then he said, so to put this into context, the total number of cases as he wrote this, so this would have been, again, today, March 16th, is around 180,000 and deaths are around 7,000. The difference is about 90,000 in patients recovering. Most have been in China. So in other words, there's been about 180 cases and 80,000 of them have recovered already. Like,
you mean 180,000?
80,000 total cases, and 80,000 of them have recovered.
Which
already.
Is great.
That's
crazy. A lot of people.
That's tons of recoveries. And, because like that stuff doesn't grab the headlines in the same way that, other ones do. And then this is another thread. This is from Larry Owens Live. That they did this long thread. This is just some good news. Again, this is on the 16th today. So China has closed down its last coronavirus hospital, right? Because they put up the emergency hospitals. Mm-hmm. Not enough new cases to support them. Indian doctors, this is long. Indian doctors successful in treating corona, combination of drugs used, lopinavir, ritonavir, I don't know what the drug names are. They're going to suggest same medicine globally. Researchers of the Erasmus Medical Center claim to have found an antibody against coronavirus. An 103-year-old Chinese grandmother has made a full recovery from COVID-19 after being treated for 6 days in Wuhan, China.
Wow.
Apple reopens all 42 China stores, so like businesses are starting.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland Clinic develops COVID-19 test that gives results in hours, not days. Good news from South Korea, where the number of new cases is declining. Italy was hit hard, experts say, but only because they have the oldest population in Europe.
That's interesting. Because we've all kind of been wondering why.
Like, why Italy? Yeah. Exactly. Wuhan celebrates the closure of the last temporary hospital in Wuhan. Scientists in Israel likely to announce the development of a coronavirus vaccine. Three Maryland coronavirus patients fully recovered, able to return to everyday life. Two more Filipinos have recovered from COVID-19 and are now discharged from the hospital. Only two Filipino COVID-19 positive patients remain in the hospital isolation. A San Diego biotech company is developing a COVID-19 vaccine in collaboration with Duke University and National University of Singapore. Tulsa County's first positive COVID-19 case has recovered. The individual has had two negative tests, which is the indicator of recovery. All seven patients who were being treated at, I don't know how to say that, Safdarjung Hospital in New Delhi have recovered. And this was compiled by the sister of Colleen Sexton, Broadway actress. There's a Broadway actress who did all this. We'll put that together again.
She's got some time.
Just good news. Like, it's not, I don't, because, you know, this is like a bigger issue sometimes over here. Just like, I don't know how to know anything. You know, I think part of the reason that people resonated with, like, you know, I mean, Trump, a day before this, a lot of came out, said it was a hoax, and now then he calls, you know, and this isn't a political thing. It's just hard to know it's hard to know what's true.
Yeah.
Right? It's hard to know what's happening. It's hard to, you just see all these things closing, and your kids are out of school, and, you know, you just hear these stories, and people are dying, and you go 7,000 deaths. That's incredible, and that's so sad. Those are real people with real value on their lives. And but what you're not hearing in the total cases is how many of those have recovered. And that's like such an important stat that people don't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
They just go 180,000, and you go, oh my gosh, and you go 80,000 of them are fine now, and you're like, wait, what? You know, if that is true. But again, even that, I'm like, you know, the skeptic in me is like, but is that true? Can I trust these facts, or is this fake news too?
I think the craziest part is, like, all day we get these updates of what's closing or what's happened on our phones.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, I guess we should make lunch. You know, and it's like,
yeah, yeah.
You just,
well, we're, you know, in my particular line of work, I mean, it's just like, what hour of the day right now is just, you like, oh, I got, okay, what happened? Like, you made lunch, and then I checked my email, and they're like, hey, you had 4 gigs. Okay, we had 4 more gigs canceled today
for April.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh gosh. And most of them haven't even done a reschedule because they're like, we don't know when we're going to open again.
Yeah.
You know, with comedy clubs, they have no idea. And then I have people messaging me going, is this one on? Is this one on? I don't, nobody knows. I mean, yes, until.
And you, they'll hear from who they purchased from.
Right.
You know,
that's exactly right.
Because you don't know anything Mm-mm. more than,
no,
you know, the person running.
I got
the show.
No answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened with
I
me.
I almost sang it.
My little thing.
What was your little thing?
My little thing. I was going to go to the typology.
Oh, yeah. Your
the
event.
Enneagram.
With your guy?
Yeah. Michael Ian Crone?
Yeah.
Ian Crone? I don't know.
I
don't think there's a Michael in there. That's Michael Ian Black.
Michael Crone? There might be. You're a big fan.
I am a big fan.
Yeah. You like his stuff. You don't know his name.
I don't know his name.
But
and I also didn't really sleep that much last night.
That's true.
Yeah.
So if
I'm a little loopy.
You weren't sure if that was caffeine or anxiety. Mm-hmm. I think it's reasonable.
I think it's like a racing mind.
Yeah. Also, to be a little gross, we discovered yesterday lentils.
Gosh, Dustin.
A lentil soup.
I made a lentil minestrone vegetarian
so healthy
soup.
So healthy.
Because I had a little extra time on my
so
hands.
So healthy.
Yep.
It smelled as if it had rotted inside of me and was slowly exiting via gas.
All night.
It woke me up. The smell of my own flatulence woke me
that
up.
That wasn't it, though, for me.
It didn't help, especially because there's a fan on my side of the bed just...
No, that wasn't it.
Just getting thrown up there,
I mean,
and just pushed over.
I think we were both
to...
just tossing and turning so much.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had this, like, I read a good article on how to clean coronavirus and all the surface types, and your dad was coming home from the airport.
Yes. So my dad came home from Vegas today. I picked him up from the airport. He was wearing a Spider-Man mask.
Mm-hmm.
And fairly in good spirits. He quarantined himself pretty well in Vegas.
And see, I haven't even talked to you about...
Yeah.
It was really good that you picked him up and you had that time in the car to kind of fill in each other.
Right.
And not distractions
right.
with all the kids and me. And, you know, kind of dump on both of each other and then kind of come in the house.
Yeah.
You guys were really positive when you got home, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, and yeah, he was in good spirits, and we were like, we just wanted to make sure he was like reading about stuff and kind of knew what was going on, and he did, and he, you know, because he was watching stuff in Vegas get shut down, you know,
yeah,
like the MGM shut down all its properties.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, you know, like those are $1 billion companies, and for them to be like, hey, we're done, that's an insane thing. So, but he came back, and you immediately Lysoled him, not his stuff, him. You told him to stand there and close his eyes. And I was dying in the kitchen. It was so funny. I've never seen a human get Lysoled.
I was trying to feel it out, like if this was going to be really weird.
Feel what out? You just grabbed the Lysol and sprayed him. You just said, stand there. That's mine,
by the way. Don, are you okay with it?
No, you didn't ask him. You just got to spraying. And,
Once I saw that mask, I was like, well, you obviously are taking some precautions.
Here's the thing. My dad loves to be taken care of.
So he was okay with it.
And you have given
him... We got all his laundry done today.
In the past, you have given him medical attention. You know, when he was
like
recovering from an infection.
Nurse.
Yeah, you were giving him IV treatments and stuff. And
I honestly think that was just about a year ago.
Yeah, me and my sister, me and my sister know quite clearly that you are his favorite child, even though you're not his child. But he was a caretaker for his children and then went to be a caretaker for his mom.
Almost immediately.
Here he's just like, these are the golden years. So, but it does add a level of, I don't know, I know you feel this pressure for you and I to be safe. And they were like, because we are not in the demographic that if we get it, they're talking about a lot of people have it and they don't even know. Idris Elba, the actor,
I think I said it right, Idris Elba,
he got it and he wasn't even showing any symptoms. Now granted, he's like a specimen. He's like, his last Fast and Furious, there was literally a line where he referred to himself as Black Superman. Like, he's like, he's amazing. But he wasn't even showing any symptoms. And so there is an amount where you're just like, I'm not, somebody asked me that earlier today, like, are you worried about getting it? I was like, I'm not super worried about getting it. I'm more worried about giving it to my dad who lives with us. So, yeah, but not that it's hard. It's getting harder and harder to even go give it anywhere because everything is shut down. So
yeah.
All of, you know, that we went from, the numbers went from like 500 to 250 to 100 to 50 and then to 10.
Yes.
Which, like, that's a bit, that's like a big family.
Yeah. I mean, the articles were coming out so quickly. You know, all saying that, you know, like, this is math, it multiplies. And so, I mean, I know it's terrible for your line of work, but I did think it was awesome. Oh my God, I can't do this and take a photo.
No, keep talking while we get this little selfie in here, huh?
I did think it was awesome that it's great to contain it, terrible for your line of work, you know? The 10 capacity.
Oh, yeah. Well, it you know, it had to hit smaller numbers before it would really even affect us. Because in like 250 or more, you're like, ooh.
That's like, not for really... the stats tomorrow night.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like your LA date, you know, in two-ish weeks. That was, you know, like a 65-person room.
Yeah. Had to hit those smaller numbers before it got us. So... anyways, all crazy stuff. I'm glad that my Lysol dad is home. But you know, as we promised, we're not going to talk all Corona Chronicles here. We have a couple other things in here, and we asked you guys for some questions, and we want to take some of them. And some of them are about this stuff. So, nice. And some of them are some bad parenting questions. So, this first one right here is from Misty. We know Misty.
Oh.
She said, "LOL, Corona Chronicles, aptly named, I think. Looking forward to it." Anyways, I have a parenting question. How do I get my 8-year-old son to wash his hands more in light of the coronavirus? You know, you know your before and after video of washing your hands, which I posted a thing. Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure Amos is still doing the before most of the time. So, yeah, help, please. This is a good question. How do you get your kids to wash their hands? Also, I don't know if I was waiting to go to the bathroom. My dad was in there, and he went to the bathroom, and they walked out. And he walked out, and I was like, "Go wash your hands, Dad." And he went back to wash.
How do you get your dad to wash your hands?
Yeah, how do you get your dad? How do you get your dad to wash your hands? Did you see the video?
Oh,
the like viral, like the woman who did like she had some water.
Oh, did she do the black light?
No, she put black pepper in there. This was to like show kids.
Oh.
She put like black pepper in there, and then she's like, "Hey, put your hand in there." And the black pepper like kind of came over to their hand, and like, "Now go put some soap on your hand." And the kid went and put the soap on your hand, and like it spread, and all the pepper like ran away, you know, because that's what soap does.
No,
yeah,
I didn't see that.
It's pretty good. So maybe check
visuals.
That out. Yeah.
Okay, so I've seen a black light, kind of thing where it shows, like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Side by side, and it shows you how many less germs are on your hand if you hit that 20-second mark.
Great. Fantastic.
And then there's the happy birthday song twice.
Sure, yeah, they can do the song. Okay, so here's the video. We'll kind of live narrate it here. So this is like an Irish mom right here. I bet I can put it up here.
The black pepper that you can see floating at the top of the bowl is the virus.
So there's just this kid. Putting his hand in this water with some in there. She goes and puts some soap on her hand. Nice sink, by the way.
That is a nice sink.
Just get the soap in your hands, okay? So if you're doing this at home, ready? So, okay, guys, wait now. Watch what happens when Dara puts his finger in.
Oh, what?
Look at that. That's the virus moving away from the soap. So it just goes to show how important. Come on, Dara. What's important about this?
Yes.
So you can...
He's distracted.
So you don't get the virus.
Washing your hands.
Okay.
About 10 times a day.
If not more.
Adorable.
Thank you, but
Yeah, not to mention, a kid with an Irish accent. Adorable. That's on ABC cute. News. A woman in Ireland. I just watched that on Twitter. Just look at that. That's fun. That's a visual. That's what you said. Kids respond to visual stuff, right? So, and then the washing the hands. What what else you got? Or the song where they wash their hands, ABCs twice.
Happy birthday or ABCs.
There's got to be some incentive.
There's the baby shark when you get to daddy shark. That's like a big thing right now.
Oh, doing,
that really hit our family, but. That's fine.
Well, baby shark, I think, is kind of come and gone, but maybe it's come back.
No, people have like shirts. They wear the shirts to Disneyland.
Well, those are Disney people.
Or they actually, SeaWorld, the grandpa shark. They're all there. Yeah.
Grandpa shark is actually the, I think, the best of them.
Yeah.
The grandpa shark one is really funny.
Yeah.
What else you got? Do you think our kids have good or bad hygiene
today,
habits in general?
They kind of threw us a curveball because apparently while we were trying to like homeschool, they were drawing with like marker on their fingers,
right?
So both of our older kids, we were like, what's under your nails?
They look like they had such bad.
I was like, how have we not seen this? And apparently they'd been, I guess we thought they were doing math, they were coloring their fingernails.
Was this when they were on their Chromebooks over here?
I know, next to each other.
Yeah,
I have no idea. They just messed up.
How would you say
their nails.
In general homeschooling is going? This was,
oh gosh, today I had like very low expectations because you know your dad was coming and I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was gonna be a busy day.
Well, here's the thing. Like we were trying to explain to our kids, like this is, like it feels like it was an early spring break for them. I think I've told this story in the podcast before. The kids have like almost like a positive view of coronavirus because it got them at out of school
immediately, like just on a random Friday afternoon.
My sophomore year, I think I've told you this story before. My sophomore year, this was like a week before school. It was like the Monday before the Friday before summer break. So we had like 5 days of school left.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're in like sixth period, last class of the day. I'm in honors English, bragging.
This is like your last time in high school.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I know. See, other than jazz band, this was this is like the last.
So you ended high school.
This is my last non-zero hour class. For context there, I did community college for my last 2 years of high school. I graduated from high school with an AA. It's whatever. Out of nowhere, the principal gets on and makes an announcement against students. We have an announcement to make.
I think I do know
this. Yeah, like an unhealthy amount of like mildew and mold in the vents.
Oh gosh.
School is immediately canceled. Like everybody, this is your last day of school. And there was like 10 minutes of school left technically. And we pretty much flipped off our teacher, threw our backpacks in the air because we'd been released for summer break like 4 or 5 days early. And we had never been more grateful to have spent the last 9 months breathing in mildew and mold, just all full of sinus infection. Just breathing the unhealthiest air imaginable.
That's a lot of the Northwest.
Yeah, exactly. But the point being, we were thrilled and we couldn't have been happier because this meant this terrible, awful thing meant the worst thing in the world when you're a kid is school. So anything that gets you out of school is to be celebrated. And I think that's why our kids, I mean, some of it's their kids, but in general, they have like a fairly lighthearted view towards this. Mm-hmm. Plus, like, it's not hitting kids really hard. Like, if they had a couple of friends that were like super sick, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you know.
Well, and then the other thing is, I mean, our son is the most social given that he's just about to be a teenager.
Yeah.
And our daughter, our 10-year-old's a little more solo, and then our kindergartner just doesn't know better. Mm-hmm. So, like, on Sunday, we're like, yeah, you know, I know we let you go paintballing yesterday, but, like, this is all coming to a screeching halt. You know, like, you got to stay in more and stop hanging out with your friends. And we got to quarantine a bit and all that, social distance. And then on Monday, you know, at noon, we're like, all right, grandpa's here. Have a seat at the table. We're going to, we got some math.
Right.
You know, and so he was just like, what? Like, Friday I got out of school. I had a killer weekend with friends.
Yeah, because it was just like a normal weekend for them at that point. But in his mind, it was the weekend leading up to spring break.
Yeah. So he was like, I don't have to go to bed and I can just kind of do whatever I want. I'm not going to read this whole 4 weeks. Yeah. So I kind of thought about that going in. There, someone had posted like a teacher had posted something that was like, hey, if you've never homeschooled, like lower your expectations now. Right. You know, like your kids are stressed, you're stressed, there's anxiety. I didn't have a lot of curriculum from my kids have a ton of teachers. They're both like in a middle school setting.
Yeah.
And then some Claire's of them kindergarten teacher, and they weren't instructed to give curriculum out. They were instructed to get off campus.
Right.
And so maybe I've heard from about four of them. And mostly fourth grade teachers. So I'm like looking up stuff, you know, like it's great. There's so many resources like virtual museums and, you know,
right.
Art, sparkle art classes. But, you know, like you need your kids to be doing math and English.
You tried to show them a giraffe video today.
Oh, that was so funny. Yeah. So I got some great mom friends. They're texting me links and they're overwhelming me completely, but I'm excited for the resources. And there was a live cam on Facebook with a giraffe, like a doctor, you know, animal scientist and some giraffes. And it was just like so classic, like a, what do they call it? Like a creature encounter or whatever, like where the giraffe's like eating her hair.
Right.
And like just, oh, they're so greedy for the snacks today.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious.
And it was streaming on IGTV live, right? And
Facebook Live.
Facebook
yeah.
Live.
Mm-hmm. And then kids all over the world and their parents are commenting on
right.
it, you know? And so I'm like, guys, just watch it and don't comment. And my son grabbed the phone and he wrote, keep eating her hair.
Yeah, Joel just got on and started making snarky comments.
And everyone's else like, Dylan's four from Santa Barbara and he also loves giraffes.
Joel's talking to the giraffe. Joel's saying, keep eating her hair. That all sounds about right for our child. Well, we're all doing our best. You know, we actually got a question from a teacher. You mentioned that. Someone, when I posted, hey, we're going to do this every day. And I don't know if we're going to do it next week. I think so. But
yeah, at least one more.
We'll know by Friday's yeah. episode if we're going to keep it up. But somebody said, hey, this is the best news of the week. A new podcast every day. Maybe it'll help my husband and I, both teachers, make it through staying home with our three kids. Now, can you give us some advice about how to not get on each other's nerves? Okay, two things there. One, this is what we were talking about. Like, one of the things that this hit, like, school cancellations weren't happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so some teachers were getting, like, screwed because their kids' school district was canceled
yeah.
and theirs wasn't. So they're screaming for childcare. I talked to somebody today who, a friend today who was, like, just cruising like through like City Heights. So that's like one of our lower ends of our like, you mm-hmm. know, it's not our, you know, it's one of the lower income populations of San Diego.
Yeah.
And she told me she was just like, it's like, there's just teens out.
Yes.
Not in school.
Uh-huh.
Who would normally be supervised during this time. And that just creates its own problem. Like, and,
yeah.
and that's not to say they should or shouldn't cancel school. It's just when you do these things, it creates these other problems, which is now you have mm-hmm. a bunch of unsupervised teens. And I know this isn't true for you because you were a good kid and you just ran cross country all summer. But for most kids, summer is when you get in the most amount of trouble.
Yeah.
The only mm-hmm. time that I ever got in trouble as a kid was during the summer because you were just so bored. You were just like doing mm-hmm. like I was a fairly good kid, but one time in like eighth, ninth grade, we like snuck out and we were like, you know, ring and run and door dashing and mm-hmm. door dash before mm-hmm. door dash, you know, you ring the bell, you run away.
Yeah.
Someone called the cops on us, the cops came, we lied to the cops, my friend got put in the back of a cop car. You
Uh-oh.
Know, and I was like, I'm a good kid, I'm like an honor roll kid, I'm in like ASB, but during your summer you're like, I guess I'm a criminal now.
Yeah.
I just lied to the cops.
Well, of course you did. Like, it's just
yeah.
the first thing
and, you
do.
You know, in hindsight now, they were just scaring us. They're
yeah.
not going to do anything. They're like, oh, well, you know, we'll just teach them a lesson. But that's the kind of stuff you do when you're a kid. I'm just going to lie to the cops because I'm so bored. So go ahead.
So the cops find out school, you know, like high school is out mm-hmm. and they go, awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even that story, as I was thinking about it, we were staying at my friend's house and we were like, hiding and running around in like a golf course, which just shows you I was staying at one of my rich friend's house and we weren't really doing that bad of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's such a juvenile crime. What'd you do? We woke somebody up in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
I remember vividly we were hiding behind a car, we thought, and like this old lady yelled out a window like, I can see you.
Yes. I do think old people, elderly people hate teenagers.
I've hated teenagers my whole life.
I think those two populations clash the most.
They absolutely do. Yeah.
If you could specify.
I think you're right. I think seniors and teens have the most hostile relationship of all the demographics.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely.
Just no patience on either side.
Well, you know what? I take that back. I think teens and everyone have the
hostile. Teens plus toddlers. Teens plus middle age.
Everybody hates teenagers. Teenagers are the worst. And, you know, even like our son today, you know, you talked about not getting on each other's nerves. It's just like, it's just kind of in them. It's just kind of like, because they, you know, when like, we've said this before too, like when people, when I'll ask Joel, our boy, and I was like, why did you do that? And he goes, I don't know. Like, that's his honest answer, because like he's not a rational creature. There's no part of him that's operating on like a rational level. He's changing. He's going from a boy to a man. He's going from, you know, he's transitioning. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, puberty is. That's what adolescence is going from a child to an adult. And it's emotional and it's psychological and it's social, a big change for them. Yeah. And it's also, just more importantly than anything, it's biological. And like your brain is just like, we tell him something and he doesn't do it right away, but he's not being bad. He just like, it's almost like he doesn't hear it, you know?
Well, like,
and we're not militant parents.
His orbit is like around himself.
Yeah.
You know, and he can be super helpful.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
And like,
he can be funny and
like
silly.
Like the water jugs, like he can lift them now.
It's great, super helpful.
That's amazing.
That's you know? Three now. That's, you know, half the household can lift those now.
Yeah.
The two youngest and the oldest can't, as you refer to them, our weakest links.
Yes. So
what are your tips on not getting on each other's nerves? I would say that you and I are not getting on each other's nerves, but that's a little bit because, A, it takes a lot for you to annoy me because I got a whole lot of love for you. And and you have been very understanding of the fact that every hour I get an email that cost us thousands of dollars.
Well, I'm trying to. And I think...
I appreciate it. Hey,
like this whole self-employed freelance artist thing, which we're almost... Are we almost at 2 years? We're like at a year and a half.
Yeah. No. I quit the day job 2 years ago, right?
Was it?
It wasn't a business then, but...
I know. I can't... Yeah, I think you're right. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Yeah. Over 2 years ago. Yeah. I haven't had a day job in two years. I'm about to get another one soon.
Yeah.
As I texted Tom Wilson today, I'm glad I didn't burn any bridges at the rec center.
I know. So I think I've learned a little bit. I remember when you started, you know, we went full-time comedy and you were doing a lot of big shows for big artists.
Right.
Featuring and all that. And then you started the podcast and I was like, okay, so you just got your second job.
Very much so, yeah.
And that took some adjusting. But it...
Now it's my only job. I do like this and I make memes now.
Yeah, this week. It's the only thing that's paying you.
I've come to respect influencers in a crazy new way of like, you're always on. You're just like constantly, you're just like out and about like, hey, can I make a video of this? Can I make a meme of this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this? Because I've been posting on like Instagram, like I've been tweeting like 10, 15 times a day. I wrote an article for The Needling. I've been doing videos. I've been making memes. I've been on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I've been on everything just constantly right now. And you're like, man, this is your life normally, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, podcast every night.
You can't, you know, visualize it. If you're outside of it, you're just like, oh, they just get free clothes or whatever, you know, the influencers.
Right.
Or they just do photo shoots all the time. But especially the content. you know, the ones making content. It's constant.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
They're working really hard.
When I was texting Kev on stage, which I'm going to do a project with him, and he's like, dude, I'm not, you know, Kev is brilliant at it. He's so good. And he was like, I'm in full content mode right now because I got nothing else to do. So.
And the people are looking.
People are wanting it. You know, those of you who are, I mean, like this message here, you know, I genuinely am so grateful that you guys are engaging with it because, you know, it's, we're just, I got nothing better to do anyways, but I'm happy to distract you and make you laugh. And people are sending messages like, thank God for comedians, you know, right now, because like, I think very much so, like, I mean, reading those articles, like, we're all looking for like a lighthearted thing because if it, mm-hmm. to quote, former or, you know, previous, front seater Brian Bates when in his news days, if it bleeds, it leads. So mm-hmm. the sensational headlines are what people are reading, and I'm happy to make jokes about it because it helps me too. So, all that to say, what we communicated essentially was how to not get on each other's nerves. Well, I think people hate this as the answer, but it's always empathy. It's always like, hey, correct me if I'm wrong here. I would say, and you may hate me for saying this, I would say that other than the cutback of finances, there is an element of which your day-to-day has gotten a little easier because your workplace closed.
Mm-hmm.
All of the business has halted. All the, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm learning that the taxes aren't really going to be due April 15th.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like, when I don't get a call back today from the accountant, I'm like, all right, well.
Yeah, because he might not be working. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he probably is, but there's probably way bigger things.
And I'm around.
He's attending to.
The last four nights, you have made dinner and or showered while I took the kids on a scooter ride. Like, that's not a luxury that we have. When I'm home, we don't have that because it's homework and it's,
you know,
we're at the baseball fields. And then when I'm gone, you're doing it all by yourself. So there is an element where it has been like slightly easier, but mm-hmm. there's an emotional stress.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like when you talk about like grief or loss or whatever, I definitely had some moments. You know, like when it was hitting me really hard. Like Friday. And I mean, I didn't really
Friday was
sleep
the first,
last night.
Friday
so.
Was the first gig. You know, I was texting, mm-hmm. I was texting Aaron Weber, you know, and Aaron and I were both on that big spring tour that got canceled. And then this. And we were just like,
worked your butts off to get a spring schedule.
Yeah, we were just like, and here we thought the craziest time of our career was over with. And you're like, man. It just, so there were, I think you said Friday or whatever, kind of that's when it hit us. And, you know, that article I sent you, which is really good about Roy Wood and by Roy Wood Jr. just talked about like, this is how this is going to hit comedy because we're kind of hitting a reality. And again, we're not alone in this. There's so many, I mean, you can be a flight attendant and you're screwed by
or
it.
Or a hotel manager
or owner. You know, my dad was telling me how he was in Vegas. He would order like a pot of coffee every morning.
Yeah.
And then he would like go down to the pool and get like a margarita. Mm-hmm. And each day the prices were going up.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? Like he was like, it was like the pot went from like 12 to 14 to 16 and 22. And then he said like the margarita was like $8 on Tuesday and like $22 when he left. And I was like, that's crazy because they're running out of money. You know, they're like, hey, if someone's going to buy a marg, you need to get the most amount of money possible for it. You know,
that's crazy. They could do that midweek though.
Yeah, and that's, then raise what, I, it on that's the weekend what I told them too. Yeah,
but,
it could have been,
it
just
been
thing.
Either way. Yeah, yeah, they're squeezing dollars out of their customers. Yeah,
yeah, it is. Yeah, it's, man. Yeah, there's all these little just. We're not alone in that, but I would say end of the week Friday.
Most small business owners are just hurting.
Totally, absolutely, and especially if they're anywhere in like entertainment or food industry or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Like frivolous, you know, like things you can cut if you need.
Should you go buy stocks in Ralph's is what I'm saying right now. guys, real quick, wanted to take a break, a moment to tell you guys about our sponsor of this podcast. Not only is this episode, what do you think an epitode is? It is the epicenter of a toad. The direct middle of a toad is called an epitode.
Okay.
But you didn't know that.
Yeah. I was thinking like a toad with an EpiPen.
An epitode is what's called when you read an epitaph. So we're all being educated right here. This episode is not only brought to you and sponsored by our friends at Dow. Oh, do we love Dow. Dow Family Vineyards and Winery. Not only is it brought to you by them, guys, we're actually enjoying it as we do this episode here of our Corona Chronicles on Don't Make Me Come Back There. Dow is an absolute friend of the podcast, and you know, we understand that it's not reasonable for everybody to go up and visit the mountain there in Paso Robles. But we also know that choosing a red wine can be very tricky, can be overwhelming. It can be like there's so many different options, there's so many different brands, there's so many different types. And when Dow makes that decision easy for you with their 2018 Dow Central Coast Pinot Noir. Mal didn't like when I said it like that. How do you say it? Pinot Noir. I like Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
It's way too much. Pinot Noir.
Accents.
Whatever you want. It's an elegant, authentic, and accessible Pinot Noir made from winemaker and proprietor Daniel Dow's favorite coastal vineyards. I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's
I'm
great.
A big fan. We've had a lot of different Dow wine in our life. We went up to Paso Robles. We've tried it, a lot of different ones. We love the Dow family. We love the whole vibe. We love what they stand for.
Their story.
We're about family. They're about family. We're about story. They're about story. It's a great fit. And this is a fantastic wine. And for you backseaters, we have a special offer to you guys. Dow Vineyards Central Coast Pinot Noir. It takes the guesswork out of for you guys, and you guys can enjoy exclusive access and free shipping on orders of three or more bottles with promo code PASO at dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. Online orders are available. It's stressful to go to a grocery store right now. It can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to have some great red wine as a part of your life right now, you can get a special deal through us. Again, that's three bottles or more. You're going to get free shipping with promo code PASO at dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. So with that said, we have a couple more questions for us. These ones, not so much related to the coronavirus, which is nice because it's kind of all we talk about, not just on this podcast and life. And sometimes it almost feels like weird to not to. It feels weird to talk about anything else. Do you feel that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I like follow a lot of different people on Twitter, and like people are like talking about like some NFL trades right now, and I was like, I guess in some ways you should just kind of go on with life, but
I know.
It feels weird.
That too.
Like like the debate. Like there was a Democratic debate.
Really?
The other night? Exactly. You had no idea. Somebody made a joke. Is like
we're just cleaning everything.
Yeah. Somebody made a joke. They're like, yo, nobody cares about global warming right now.
Yeah.
speaking of which, Melissa and I, you know, you and I are both college educated. You were in B+, in A- average. You were top 20 graduating class in your high school. You graduated with honors. And I went to a pretty good university and I was a B average there. You and I were both earlier like, man, maybe it's like certain areas of the globe, like you don't even hear about it right now. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and the you said like South America, Africa, Australia. And then I started reading. I was like, oh, that's totally right. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. And then I read a thing. They're like, yo, it's not flu season in the Southern Hemisphere.
Geography, not our thing.
They're like, it's going to hit them when it becomes flu season there. Whoops. But anyways, moving on. Someone asked this, what are Melissa and your silly marriage quirks? I.e., is there any time, or i.e., any time my husband loads the dishwasher, first off, quit bragging, you got a dishwasher.
Yeah.
I have to reload for maximum efficiency. That's a classic. This is from Courtney. I have to reload for maximum efficiency. I have learned the other day that every time I make pasta, he comes in behind me and turns the stovetop down so that I don't boil over the water everywhere. Also,
it's a pain.
Some more mom hacks would be great. I'm saving some cardboard boxes now. This is based on your episode that came out today.
Oh, that's adorable that she listened and commented on it.
Hey, mom hacks are great. You've got good mom hacks. what are silly marriage quirks? The first one that comes to mind is 6-7 years ago. It was actually, I think, before we moved down to San Diego, so it was probably more like 8-9 years ago. We fully leaned into my ADD, and I told you, listen, when everything around the house is done and we kind of do our time where we sit down and chat, I'm going to be a better conversationalist. I'm going to be more engaged with you if I play a mindless video game. Not like an involved video game, like a dumb thing on my phone.
Yeah, this is not like Call of Duty.
Nothing like that. Nothing that takes any amount of strategy or an involvement.
Race car.
And you...
soccer.
You let me try it, and you realize I would ask you questions. Mm-hmm. We're very engaged. There's something about the way that my particular brain works, which is like if I'm doing a dumb thing that mm-hmm. does not take any mental engagement, it helps me be more focused on, like, it essentially mm-hmm. it helps me not...
Like, be more present.
Be more present. Yeah. And like, a one-on-one conversation is very challenging for me. Mm-hmm. A podcast mm-hmm. suits me well because I can be all over the place. And I'm like, here, I'm getting some content and maybe I'm monetizing this.
Yeah. You're kind of in control of the conversation.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And when I'm focused, I can be very good on it. But at the end of the day,
just tired.
Yeah. And tell me a story. I would say that's mm-hmm. one quirky thing, that if you walked into our house... And the uh-huh. time, the limited maybe hour and a half or two that we get together, and I'm on my phone for that conversation, people will be like, what are you doing?
What a terrible husband.
Yeah, that, and when we first started telling people that we slept with different blankets.
Uh-huh.
But I've started mm-hmm. telling that joke on stage, and I think a lot of people do.
Kind of hiding it.
What more do you want? We share bank accounts.
Yeah.
Like, our lives are one.
Oh,
We
share passwords.
Sharing a blanket is dumb. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable, yeah. And it's very unnecessary.
Yeah.
I got my own farts to deal with over here. You've been, you know, cooking me up beans and lentils.
Yeah.
What other marriage quirks do we have? Can you think of any?
Well, I was thinking when you said what you just said, I remember as a couple, you know, occasionally we'd like go out to eat and...
Which you don't like.
So you are like a big... You worked in the restaurant industry as a busser.
Right.
We both like managed coffee stands and stuff. So, all you could do was watch the wait staff the whole time.
It was an issue for a long time. All I could be like, oh, man,
that server's like killing it, or that busser is way behind.
Right.
And they need to seat this table and get out their, you know, meals and everything. You're watching the bartender. And I was like, all right, this is not worth the like $60-$50 or whatever that we're spending. And we just kind of, because of our crazy, you know, lifestyles, we just started like doing more like coffee shop. Like we would play Scrabble all the time.
Scrabble or Yahtzee?
Or Yahtzee.
Yahtzee, yeah.
Oh, no, not Scrabble.
Yeah.
It was Yahtzee.
We would go out and play a lot of Yahtzee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We played Yahtzee two nights ago, three and four nights ago.
Yeah.
We played some Yahtzee.
And
I'm going to play again tonight.
Like
it's fun.
I like process out loud and I need to talk.
Right.
And you need to be distracted while I do that talking.
I do.
And you're a better conversationalist if...
That's fair.
If you're distracted.
Yeah. I think those are some good...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for the question on that. I think that's very true. I think that we just learn how to get the best out of both of us as far as conversation goes.
Just always trying to think outside the box.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to think if there's any more that have anything to do that are less about like my...
ADD.
Yeah. And ones that like maybe people judge us for, and they're like, I can't believe that you do that.
Like stigmas. Right.
Yeah. I don't know if we.
As a couple.
Marriage quirks that we have.
You are pretty sarcastic.
Yeah.
And.
Naturally.
And if you don't get on stage.
I do get a little mean around the house.
You can get mean.
Yeah.
But I like don't joking take it mean. As mean.
I don't feel like I've
I'll
been
tell
that.
You if yeah. if you've crossed the line.
That's true.
And...
Yeah, man, are we going to be... There's literally no stages for me to get on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think that oftentimes our banter has been shocking to people.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, why would you ever say that to your wife?
Yeah.
But it was all in good fun and...
What about...
For the laugh.
Yeah, that's true.
And if I really cared, I bring it up.
Love and laughs. I told you that's all I can. That's all I ever brought to the table with you is I could love you and I could make you laugh. The I would say one. This is a family one.
Kay.
Is if the opportunity presents itself, you and I will outsleep our children in the morning by like 3 hours.
Yeah.
In a hotel or right now. Like, well, like tomorrow morning.
I feel because we are working late.
You and I have always been night owls.
Yeah, we're night owls. We've always done projects at night.
You said it the other day. There was no way I was ever going to have any career where I made money from 9 to 5. Even in the last job that I had at the rec center, late hours, 11 to 7, 12 to 9, weekends. It was just always, that was always in the cards.
Restaurant life. Design stuff. Totally. You were just doing side hustles.
I remember early on in our marriage.
You used to work at a homeless shelter one night a week.
Well, that was another financial crisis in our life. Yeah, I did. I worked in a homeless shelter.
Overnight,
yeah.
You didn't sleep.
Gosh, I remember. Started to get
that
really
was 10 years ago.
And it was really, I know, I get 10, really sad whenever I see like a clip from Scrubs, because we would watch like a little some Scrubs. Scrubs is such a great show, very
it
underrated
came on
show.
Like 5 or 6.
I know, and we'd watch
Thursdays.
It, and then I would go work a 12-hour with homeless youth who I didn't even like teenagers, and homeless teenagers were even meaner to me. And I had to stay up for 12 hours, and it was kind of a scary job.
And your eyes were red, and
yeah. And we were poor. So, but then I went back to working at Starbucks. So we weren't poor. We were.
Well, we struggling. Had our expenses were above our heads, but we had little children.
We
and
bought a house
the recession.
In 2007. Yeah. That was our own fault.
Followed the trend.
Well, thank you for that question here. Let's do one, maybe two more questions. Here we go. This one's from Matthew on Twitter. My oldest is a tween and has so much attitude. He is required as a part of living in our household to unload the dishwasher, a lot of dishwasher stuff, every day.
Quit bragging.
Exactly. I know, everyone. You could. We've never...
I'm kidding.
Have we
I'm
ever
kidding.
Had a, we did at the Linwood house, which is the house we bought.
It has been 10 years since we've owned a dishwasher.
But you know,
10 and a half.
You know what? I'm unemployed right now, so us living modestly
so we're
feels
just smiling as we hand wash our dishes.
So he almost every he gets an allowance for it. More than 50% of the time, he throws a total fit and says, "I am not doing this anymore." / you can't make me. Yeah, right, bud. Other than slapping him into the next week, that's funny. My Uncle Butch would always, he would say, I'll knock you into tomorrow land. That's a funny line.
Yes.
He never actually hit me. Other than slapping him into the next week, what do I do with him? At home for 2 weeks, 1 week spring break, and 1 week extra close. Wait, I bet Matthew since this, I bet you're at home with him even more since then.
No.
Okay, so keep in mind, this is bad parenting advice. With you, we're actually, when Steven and I, we'd be like, hit him. Obviously,
right.
If Steve, okay, let me.
Or you guys usually do like verbal mocking.
Yeah, that's true.
That's belittle him.
That's almost exactly where I would have gone with that. Mm-hmm. As I would say, it's obviously not good to hit him. Plus, hitting a kid has damaging long term effects. Yeah. I would, as their parent, you know what he's insecure about. Maybe he has. Acne,
freckles.
Maybe he has freckles. I was gonna say maybe he has like like unsightly like mustache hair that hasn't grown in. Maybe
the
he
peach fuzz.
The
yep.
peach fuzz. Maybe he
voice cracks. Oh, there's so many
the
options.
The voice crack is maybe he doesn't dress well.
He doesn't like to shower.
He doesn't like to shower. Maybe he's like a little too into Pokemon still,
yeah.
Whatever it may be, and then
I would got stuffed animals in his bed.
I would mock him for those things, and then I would maybe threaten to highlight those things on TikTok where all his friends are.
Yeah,
tag
get
all
an
of his
account,
friends, get an account,
tag him.
Yeah.
Oh, dance with the stuffed animals.
Dance with his stuffed animals.
Yeah.
Tag him. All this is great. You're very good at this. See,
it's kind of a dog piling kind of thing. You just,
exactly.
Yeah.
Shame. I just can't. If you want some short term, what's the phrase?
Oh yeah. Results. Yeah.
Shame. Literally just yell shame at them. Maybe try like the scarlet letter approach, whatever it may take. I would recommend that. And
also,
go ahead. you're so good
I'm
at
still
this.
Still going. he doesn't get to use the dishes, so he gets
oh, that's
his
funny.
Breakfast on the table.
That is so funny. Okay, you don't want to unload the dishes. You can just eat your food off the table.
With your fingers.
Like a rat.
Lick the table.
We'll just leave it out on the counter for you, and you can scurry up there. Like a rodent. You're queuing into what's fun about bad parenting advice is it's fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's like, what if I did? What if I...
It's actually... it's cathartic.
It is very cathartic. What if I did? What if I actually, like, enforce the things that I threaten my kids with, which we never do whatsoever. Because it's a real pain to have to enforce those things. And so anyways, that would be my recommendation. Yeah, and then sometimes you try and actually have, like, a heartfelt idea. Like, what do you do with a moody teenager? Which is, I think, just try and remember what it was like for you.
To them, that actually is the hardest thing in the world.
My son is in seventh grade right now.
Mm-hmm.
If coronavirus is going around and 7,000 people had died and it's this crazy thing and my grandpa, who I love, is in my house and, you know, could potentially get it, there are 1,000 other things that would be more important to me.
Yeah.
Like my friend texting me would be more important to me.
The Pokemon raid.
The Pokemon raid, going on a bike ride,
the chips at 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The hot chips at 7-Eleven.
That's exactly it. Yeah, he talked to me about 7-Eleven for a half an hour today.
Yeah.
For half an hour today, he talked to me about this new Dorito and how much he loves it.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's his world, man. He does not care about those dishes. And I really do. I was thinking about today, we were playing this game with my kids, and we have a game called Chicken Nugget, and it's evolved into another game called Chicken Burger. It's hard to explain, but the basis of it is my kids, Chicken Nugget is they get in their bed, and if they get out of their bed, I run back there and I like tickle them and I grab them and
They
try and sneak out. And Chicken Burger it has a different name. I don't remember what it is, but I think it's something like Chicken Burger. They have two big bean bags, and I have to catch them, and I name them as ingredients, and I put them in between there. And once they're there, they're stuck. And Claire always wants to be the guac. She's like, oh, baby guac, little guac, guac. Oh, baby guac is just a baby. And she just really leans into it.
She's the baby.
And I was playing that with, and I was like, this is all they'll remember. Like, maybe they'll remember that, because earlier today he was mad that I yelled at him. And I did yell at him, but in my defense, he came into the room that I was working, and I told him 5 times not to come in, and he just kept coming in. I was like, don't come in, don't come in. And he's like, I'm not coming in, as he kept walking in. I was like, you're in the room. And dad yelled at me for no reason. I was like, that's not an accurate portrayal of what happened. And then we had a little family meeting we just said, this is a hard thing, and your attitudes are making it worse. Maybe, I don't know what they'll remember, but I think they'll remember the laughs more than anything. I think they'll remember that, yes, we got frustrated with them at times and that things got hard, but I think more so than anything, they'll be like, nah, every single day dad was home, we played on the trampoline, and every single morning mom got up and got us ready and got us out the door and made us lunches. Like, I think long term, those are the things they remember. At least that's what I'm hoping.
It could be decades before any of this makes any sort of positive spin impact on their brains.
So all that to say, I think our kids do not care at all about coronavirus, though. You know what, you said Gloria had a little bit, like, her heart, she was what was it, she was upset about two things. She was upset about coronavirus, and then she was in Seattle because we have a lot of family and friends up in Seattle. But then she was also upset that her sleepover got canceled, right?
Yeah,
in reverse order.
Yeah. I honestly feel like that sleepover had the potential to be terribly dramatic.
Right.
And so she kind of dodged a bullet.
Yeah, it was a certain group of friends.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know who I need to talk to. The mom hosting or Gloria? Or like a little preemptive. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, it's 10-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brutal.
Absolutely brutal, yeah.
No, Gloria has had some amount of, like, compassion for...
She does that way. She has a big heart. She cries when family leaves, you know. She does have a big heart. And I think she probably has the closest understanding. What was it when we were praying at the dinner table and...
Claire keeps saying.
Well, because we were praying, you know, we're kind of, usually before dinner, we sing the doxology and it's fun and it's silly and it's kind of.
And everybody is screaming.
And it's, And no, we've been doing more verbal prayers, which are like, hey, you know, we're praying. It's all about coronavirus. We're saying, we pray that.
Doctors, nurses.
We pray for a vaccine. Yeah. Uh-huh. We pray that healing. We pray for the families that are suffering. We're praying for those that are, you know, what's the word? Quarantined. We're praying for the nurses. We're praying for the workers. We're praying out for the. And what Claire said something.
I think she was talking about a cure.
I think she just came out.
I think she heard you say that the night before.
Yeah.
And you hadn't mentioned it.
Yeah.
And then she jumped in. She's six. Yeah. She's like, and also a cure for this.
Oh, your little 6-year-old praying for a cure. That'll melt your heart right there. So
they have their moments.
Yeah. Well, that's good any place.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in and don't make me come back there. You know, stay safe out there, everybody, and keep washing your hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.